I think.
Don't you say it. Is what?
You said you're a sexy mom. I think that you could try out for Milton Manor. Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we have another listener question episode. Bean, let's do it.
Okay.
Hi, Bean. We're having a challenge with the intro this morning.
I wasn't really that upset with it, but your faces indicated otherwise. The first one was a little cringy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, let's talk about why. What's going on with you? You have a new identity.
Oh, it's really my delight. It's my delight and my cringe is that I cut all of my hair off and I went very blonde and it's really short. You should check out our YouTube page if you're curious and seeing it. And I love it and I'm feeling fun and sexy and youthful and everyone else keeps telling me I look cute. And my other friend told me, you look like a mom now or something. I was like,
that was fun. I said, those are fighting words right there. I'd be like, well, I'll meet you in the back of the 7-Eleven.
I don't need to because, girl, I feel good about this blonde, shaggy shortcut.
Really, it's a very cute haircut. It's sort of giving the Rachel.
Oh.
A little bit.
Everything you're saying is offensive.
You have headphones on. I don't know. She keeps taking the headphones off and shagging her hair.
I don't need to defend myself. I will say I love my hair. Everyone is telling me I look cute. My hairdresser was like, I think this might be my favorite cut I've done on you yet. And I was like, yeah. And I've been with her for over a decade at this point. And
says it's her favorite. No, you look really beautiful. You always look really good with short hair.
Well, I'm not going to use the word cute.
But the reason that we didn't like some of the intros is that Bean's new mom cut was causing her to react in a...
In a mom way? It was totally new.
So we had to keep doing it over. Well, that is delightful. You look delightful. Is that a word?
I don't know. Honestly, you all can suck it. I really am enjoying it. I don't know if I'm ever going to not be short again. It's fun. And I've been craving change like this for so long, but I was waiting till after the mitts to cut my hair off. This has been like ruminating in my brain. Like, just go shorter, go shorter, go full Britney Spears, keep going, keep going. And then I got here, even when she did this, remember when she shaved her head and she was like, I need a new identity. That's how I was feeling. So I was I was going to cut it off. I just didn't know how short and where and what. And I am pleased.
Gorgeous.
My Rachel mom cute cut. I think it's funky. Whatever. Enough of my hair. Have anything interesting?
We're going to post a picture of Bean on our Instagram at Signal with Maury and Melissa. And you all can give us a word besides cute.
Thanks.
That you resonate with.
I also want to mention a lot of the youthful friends are doing these short little cuts. Okay. So I just like to be trendy. I'm on trend.
She did say before we started recording, the youth are cutting their hair short like this lately, which was another mom thing.
I just watched an Instagram reel and all of the girls were probably in their late 20s, early 30s, and they all had these short haircuts. I was like, am I cool or am I cool?
You're the coolest.
You know, when you ask if you're cool, it instantly means you're cool.
Yeah, you're the very coolest.
Woof. Whatever. I still like my hair. Do you have anything cool or delightful? Tell us about your cool stuff with your long hair being all cool.
This is the thing with my hair is like it never changes. So that's boring.
That's boring. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You used to change your hair. You went short. You would get bangs. Short. Yeah. Now
I have an issue now where as I'm in my 40s, I'm worried it'll never grow long again. So I'm really just trying to enjoy it for the last time.
It'll grow long again.
I don't think so. I had a really hard time this last time. We can discuss that trauma in another episode.
Maybe I should have consulted before I did this then.
No, it's gorgeous.
Cute.
All right. My cringe, stop talking about Bean's hair. My cringe and delight are one and the same. My stepsons are here. And so we have three teenagers and one almost teenager.
Like a party.
And it's a party. And we went last night, we went axe throwing with these
kids. Oh, you did? So what?
Yes. Yeah. Okay, listen. Axe throwing is a much harder thing than it looks like. It's really
arm strength.
It's not arm strength. It's like learning how to
I feel like it is.
Straighten your arm. I have this weird arm that does this, like, I'm double jointed. So like my elbow goes out to the right. Anyway, it's about straightening your arm and like, you know, like think about like a chopping motion, but throwing it that way. Without flicking your wrist. And
don't flick your wrist?
These kids are like learning for the first time. They're like hitting bullseyes.
Ooh.
I'm throwing it. It is like, I'm throwing it. They're like harder. I'm throwing it. It is literally bouncing off the thing, the wall, and bouncing back towards us. We're all like.
Axes?
Yeah, axes.
People are like screaming and running in the other direction screaming, every time you go.
Yeah, ears are getting chopped off. It was a disaster.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah. So my cringe is that I suck at axe throwing.
At least your hair is long.
Thanks. They're like, let's do a tournament where we count our points. Ugh. I had 8 points.
That's good.
Some people had like 32.
Oh, well, that's all right.
It's not good. No, it's what a bullseye.
How did you get points?
The center is six. Oh, six, see. Four, three, two,
I'm impressed
one.
That you landed it at all.
I know. Thank you. Next time we're together, we're going to go axe throwing to see how you feel about it.
I'm good. Okay. All right.
But it was also delightful because I was looking around and I was like, oh, you know what? Like the things that we do with the four kids to entertain them is evolving over time, obviously. But it's right. The same level of joy and like giggles that they're all having together. I know. It was really cute.
I love giggles.
By the way, a second delight.
Mm.
If you have not seen Inside Out 2, run. Do not walk.
For real?
To the nearest theater, or maybe now it's streaming. It is so good.
Isn't it about hormonal girls?
Yes, but it is about limiting belief systems.
You're kidding.
Literally. It's about how her belief systems form and how her positive belief systems formed up until puberty and then how limiting belief systems form because of the new character voiced by Maya Hawke, Anxiety. It's really good. It literally is like, I think I cried.
Oh, Evie's going to see it tomorrow.
Oh, she'll love it.
Oh, wow. Neato.
I know. Evie's also West Coast bound.
Evie is West Coast bound. My baby girl is flying on her own to California next week.
That's exciting.
Are you really going to see her?
Yeah, I'm going to try.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, well, Bean, today is listener question day, which
it sure is. How about I read some? I agree. And it feels really like it feels like a deeper connection to listeners when we are answering their questions and or questions that you get on your DM through Instagram. Should we just like start it out? It feels so real.
Yeah.
I feel like a grown up. Yeah. Even though my hair is so youthful, I feel like an adult. All right. I'm just going to start. I feel like enough. Let's go. No. The first question, it's enough for the people who don't like banter. We're done. I could listen to us banter the entire episode and I'd be laughing.
I wonder why that is.
I'm not biased or anything, but.
No. You're like, I'm hilarious.
No, we together are adorable. Nice.
Adorable and cute.
It's the hair. All right. Anyway. Okay. Listener question one. Maury, what do you do? This wasn't even said. Doesn't say Maury. I'm just saying Maury. When your intuition directly conflicts with that of the rest of the group or an authority figure? Does that mean if the cop's arresting you and he's like, you're being illegal, and you're like, I'm doing it by the law, and what do you do?
Listen, naughty girl, that is not how I heard it. I heard like my boss or my parent.
When the cops are arresting me. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's a good question. How do you handle it when your intuition is going counter to what an authority figure is saying?
Or the rest of the group is also a good one. Like if you're in a group setting, you're like, if they're all thinking it, am I wrong?
I mean, look, learning to listen to your intuition when it comes up against an authority figure, first of all, is going to be really hard because we've been really trained to value external wisdom over internal wisdom. So just know that it's going to take you some practice. It's not like you can just snap your fingers and suddenly this is going to feel easy. Being aware that the training in culture, in society, is that external wisdom is more valuable than our own intuition is really going to make it hard for you to trust it. You're going to believe that what someone else is saying is more spot on and accurate than what your intuition is saying. So, you know, what that then requires is building trust with your intuition. And building trust with your intuition is really about paying attention to it throughout all moments in your life. Little ways, big ways, whatever it is where you hear that clear, calm knowing, pay attention to it and act on it. The more you do that, the more you start to build evidence for how right and spot on you are every time you have an intuitive knowing. The more you build evidence, the more you can trust on it. And then what happens is you're able to stand on the courage of your convictions more strongly when you're up against a more intimidating situation. For example, a person in authority. From there, this is uncomfortable, but you just have to speak up. You have to say, you have to really work against the voice that says, be quiet, be small. We need to be liked. We need to be seen as valuable. We need to be palatable. That's the voice that's going to tell you, you know what? Don't pay attention to this intuitive voice, or don't say it out loud. You're going to have to feel the discomfort of all of those voices and speak up anyway, and then see what happens. You're not always going to convince everyone just because it's a knowing that you have, but the more that you practice saying it out loud when you're uncomfortable, the easier it's going to be for you. And, you know, I do this all the time in sessions with clients where I get an intuitive knowing and they're just not agreeing with me or ready to hear it or not, you know, sharing the same perspective. And I'll just say, okay, this is just for you to consider. It's just what I'm sensing. This is what I feel that I know, you know, consider it and leave it. Don't be so attached to trying to convince the other person of your perspective. Right. What matters more is saying it out loud. That is the win, not whether they then, you know, do what you say or believe you. And I think that this question clearly is coming from someone who then, you know, you have to follow the instructions of the person who's telling you something counter right. to your intuition. That's okay. It's okay, especially if it's a superior. I always say, just make sure it's noted that you felt differently and you felt right. opposite. And then, you know, if it's an authority figure and you have to do what they're asking, do it. And find the evidence for how your intuition was actually right. It'll convince you even more. And if you can find the courage without being petty to go back and say, I tried it this way. Here's the outcome. I really right. think next time it needs to be Y instead of X. Then you're starting to build on it organically. So that's what I'm saying, is that it's an organic change that is slow rather than a sudden, this is what my intuition tells me and you better believe me and I'm not going to do it your way. That's going to just create more strife.
I have a question that I don't know if you can even answer.
Great. I love it.
Yeah, you're welcome. If let's say it's like a group of friends and you're in the group and you know your intuition is telling you what they're all saying is incorrect or the way they're all feeling, but isn't that their intuition that they're hearing? What if our intuitions are contrary?
That's such a good question. Oh. Two possibilities arise in those situations. One is that groupthink is happening. And so what feels like intuition is actually just more of a follower mentality that this species of ours has in order to create belonging, which is a basic right. need that we have. So I also would check with my intuition there. Like, you can sense very clearly when people aren't coming from their total truth. You know it when you're tuning in with your intuition. Yeah, so there's a possibility that it's groupthink, which should make you want to speak up even more because, you know, you want to make sure that you're not saying yes just to fit in. You're really speaking up from a place of truth. That's what this work is about. The second possibility is that people do have different intuition about things because they have different aspects of the lens. Like right. everything is a prism. There's 20 sides to everything. So, you know, curiosity is really important because if you're feeling something with all of you and someone is also saying, I really feel intuitively it's this,
right.
ask questions, be open to it, be curious to it, because I yeah. guarantee it's probably both things somehow, or there's totally. Some nuance in it somehow that is really important. So don't write people off if they're truly coming from this place of intuitive wisdom too. Open yourself up to curiosity. There's probably an aspect of it that you're not intuiting that they are. And so then what better way than to put the two things together?
Maybe you did have an answer for my question then. After all, I cannot trick you, ma'am.
Try stopping.
There is no stopping you. Well, then let me hit you with another question, please. Oh, this was directly to the Signal podcast, which is special. After listening to the disappointment episode, it like, I feel like for me, it really is like, oh, people are listening. Like they're referencing an episode. After listening to the disappointment episode, I realized my fear of disappointment prevents me from taking chances and investing into myself. What is your advice? This is probably across the board applies to everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. This is really a hard place to find yourself because you're so worried that you're going to be the reason you get let down, right? Like it's so right. much easier to blame someone else you down. For your yeah. disappointments than I'm going to be the one who's going to let yeah. myself down if I choose to change my career right now because it's something that I really feel that I want. And then what if it doesn't work out? So I totally get it. I feel for you because I've been there a million times and I've had to just overcome that fear to just believe in myself regardless. But my advice is that, you know, you really stop to ask yourself what's going to be more disappointing, not trying yeah. and therefore True. Never having the chance to make it happen, or really giving it everything I have and seeing where I end up. And maybe I don't end up exactly where I wanted to be. Maybe I end up just one step closer instead of 10. But will you be more disappointed in never trying and therefore never right. knowing, or in trying and learning new things along the way that will get you at least one or two or three steps closer to the dream than if you just didn't move towards it whatsoever?
It's like That's living my... a life with no regrets. I'm very into no regrets. Like right, I don't exactly. want to look back and be like, shoulda, woulda, coulda.
Right. Yeah. So I think yeah. it's that I want to leave it that simple because that's my motivating mantra for myself. Every time I get paralyzed by fear, it's like, well, will you be disappointed if this didn't work out because you didn't even try?
Yeah. And the answer is probably yes.
Yeah. Always. Always.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so go get it, listener. Go after your dreams, buddy. We support you. All right.
There's
fine.
Mom again.
You can do it. All right. No, I'm fun, sexy mom.
Oh, sorry. Sexy mom. Go ahead.
All right. Next question.
Did you know there's a show called MILF? Wait, what is it called? I just saw an ad for it because Raina and I are watching Perfect Match again. You know that show I talked about last summer?
I forget what it was. What was it?
It's reality TV stars who come into a house and they all have to match up by the end of the night. And if you don't match up, then you get thrown out. And it's
Do you have to pick each
debauchery.
Other?
It is debauchery. Yeah, it is crazy and debauchery and it is so fun. But
oh,
there
wow.
was an ad for MILF something where they're the mom or sorry, the woman is dating the son and the father at the same time.
Is it reality or is it a
reality?
Sitcom?
No, uh-uh. it's a reality like competition. There's women MILF. There, gorgeous women, and they're dating
MILF Manor.
Both the son.
MILF Manor. Manor. That is upsetting.
Isn't that? It is like talk about cringy.
CNN refers to it as queasy reality TV.
Exactly. It's so cringy. But guess what? Your haircut, what? I think.
Don't you say it. Is what?
You said you're a sexy mom. I think that you could try out for MILF Manor.
You honestly, every attempt at a compliment makes it worse. Everything you've said to try to be nice sounds offensive.
I'm sorry. I'm not trying to be offensive.
Luckily, you're not in my MILFy head. All right, I'm moving to the next question. You can share your knowledge on these things and you can keep your knowledge of haircuts to yourself. I'm spending a lot of time healing myself. Sometimes it feels like I take 10 steps forward. Good job. And then something happens and I take 25 steps backwards. Mm-hmm. How do I stay motivated when I'm not seeing the results? Woof, that is really not motivating.
How much do you relate to that though?
So much. What's the opposite of motivating? Demotivating?
Demotivating.
I don't think. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Take Google shots.
It.
Yeah.
Demotivating.
That is really hard. Especially word. I feel like during processes of healing, that's a big thing. Like you don't just keep moving yes. forward. It's like a huge forward and then backwards a little bit. I can even say, being more honest, my husband and I are trying a new approach in communication in our marriage. Always working on it. And it was like 3 days where I felt like he wasn't pulling his weight. And like immediately I like went backwards. I was like this yeah. for a while. I was like, this is great. This is great. And then like he was having an off day and I was like, but that was really my own fault for letting it go backwards so far. But there are many times when you really do go backwards and it feels like you're never going to get to the end of this.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I really think this is healing, guys. Healing is not linear. Healing is an upward spiral, which means that it's circular. And you're going to find yourself, as you heal and evolve, in the same kind of circumstance or situation or feeling similarly over and over again, because we have these core wounds. I'm not enough. I'm too much. I'm not lovable. Can't do it. Whatever the core wound is that you're working on that has been implanted in you from trauma, from external voices, from outside circumstances when you were a child, whatever that core wound is, that is going to be there to be healed at every level of your consciousness, at every level of your evolution. And that is because it is going to heal deeper and more the more aware that you are. So every time you become more aware, you're going to have a different perception, a different level of awareness about this very core wound that you've always been working on. So that's why it's an upward spiral. It's just that you come back to it from a different consciousness every time. So I just want to start by saying that so that we can all give ourselves a break and not feel like it's this 10 steps forward, 20 steps back. It's not linear. You're just always moving in this spiral upward. And upward just means towards total self-actualization. Like you completely understand yourself and you are walking in your truth. And you have healed the things that are limiting you from being in your truth. So just know that you're not going backwards. You're just revisiting something that is causing, that is wanting you to go deeper. It is requiring a deeper level of consciousness, of awareness, of work on it, of time with it. And it can be exhausting, that is for sure. So the other thing is, take a break sometimes. Life doesn't have to be hard work 24/7. We don't have to be working on healing our issues all the time. Sometimes it is okay to just stop and literally smell the roses. Just be in the present moment. If you're feeling really daunted by the lack of progress, give yourself a break for a minute. You know what? I've been working on this relationship with my father or healing the way that I feel about him. And now I just need to take a break. I'm going to be really present in this moment, focusing on all the things I've accomplished, focusing on the people around me who love me, focusing on this moment in this time when I am doing this thing that is bringing me joy. And that break is going to give you new perspectives anyway. And in those new perspectives, you can revisit this healing from a more expanded, rested headspace. So don't feel like you have to be chipping away at this and that if you don't constantly focus on it, you won't find happiness. That is not true. Happiness is surrounding you in your very present moment. You don't have to live in the past or heal the past to experience happiness. Does it help? Absolutely. But just know that it's happening even if you're not totally focused on it. And then the last thing I'll say about staying motivated to do it is to look to your past for evidence of how much work you've already done, how much you've already healed this thing that you're working on. You know, where was I with this 3 years ago to where I feel about it today? Notice your progress, because when we're in the moment, it feels like tiny little incremental change. But when you look behind you, you're like, holy shit, that's Mount Everest behind me. I really accomplished a lot. I feel, you know, 90 degrees different than I did 3 years ago. Give yourself some credit for the road you've traveled and the progress you've made so far so that you can be bolstered by knowing, oh no, I'm capable of this. And change does happen. I'm not aware of it in the moment, but when I look to the back, past, I can see that I've changed over time.
This is one of my favorite things that I take away from everything that you say is that even when you feel like you go backwards, I'm basically just repeating what you just said, but in my own words, even when you feel like you go backwards, you still have the perspective of those steps you took forward. Even if you went backwards, you still are viewing it with a new lens because you did make that progress. So whatever you learned in that progress is, even though you're back to where you started, you're applying all the lessons you took from that previous progress. And now you're going to experience whatever you're experiencing differently. It's going to feel different. It's going to look a little different. It might, whoever the offending party is, might be behaving the same, but what you take from it will, and what you gain and how you analyze it will be different.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bean, guess what?
What?
There's a question for you.
I know. I'm like, ugh. Is it my haircut? I don't know.
Excited. We were so excited when we saw that there was a question for Bean. Not because Bean isn't a phenomenal and amazing, but because I'm the one that doles out the advice. So people want the advice.
Yeah.
No, you're not the sidekick.
I am
you're
the sidekick.
Meal. You know what this is? This is surf and turf.
Sidekick.
This is surf and turf. Okay. You're the lobster, I'm the steak. You're not the mashed potatoes.
Girl. I don't I'll be the lobster. I'll take that.
Okay, lobster. Well, we have a question for you. This question is for Melissa. You talk a lot about how much this podcast with Maury is opening you up to new concepts. Has it opened you up to hear your intuition more? And how are you trusting it more? Or how are you learning more about yourself?
This is even for me, who is right alongside of you all the time. This is a constant process of the previous question, which is I feel like I went ahead 10 steps and then I went back 25. Before I started working with you, I would coach with you occasionally. I mean, you had basically coached me most of my life anyway before you were even a coach, but I did actual sessions with you and I would have so much progress and success with those sessions, but they were like kind of few and far between. We were just like fitting them in wherever we could. And I always was enlightened, but then it would sort of dull because I wasn't keeping up with it. And I feel like now being with you so much and watching what you're doing and being on this podcast and consistently hearing your message and, even getting like a tiny sneak peek into your book and reading all of your processes and everything, it's driving home all of the points that you have made to me in those previous coaching sessions or that you were trying to get me to understand in those previous sessions. Cause it's basically like, not that everyone's not different, but you kind of have like a formula that you tweak depending on different people's circumstances, which will come out in your book. And I feel like I can more readily access that your method, because I'm always aware of it. Cause I'm always paying attention to it. So I do hope that when your book does come out, that it'll be like people can go back and reference it. I feel like I'm referencing you repeatedly by being with you all the time now, but I feel like it's the real deal. So my intuition is way clearer. I've tried to pay more attention to when something feels good and something doesn't feel good, which I also think is a product of your 40s a little bit. Right. But it goes back and forth. I have moments where I'm like, I am an intuitive goddess. I know all the things. I have reached peak self-actualization. And then the next day I wake up and I'm crying and I'm like, I don't know if I'm right. I can't hear anything. Was I making this up the whole time? I had this moment where when I had COVID where I thought my intuitive self was telling me that I didn't have COVID. I just had a cold. And then I tested positive for COVID and I was like, God damn it. Is this all fake? But then you go back and you have those moments of doubt. It's honestly, my journey is probably the same as everybody else's.
That is so helpful
for asking me
to
a question.
Hear.
Yeah, I
know.
For asking me a question.
That's really helpful to hear because it is not a consistent faucet that you can tap. I mean, let me say it differently. It is a consistent top faucet that you can tap at any time. That is your intuition. However, we just have a lot of noise. We have a lot of noise from the external world. We have a lot of noise from our limiting belief systems. And it is hard to clear that noise 24/7 to hear it. So super relatable.
I'm not going to lie. Part of my noise, and I bet this is also relatable for a lot of women who are listening, is where I am hormonally really impacts my ability to hear what I'm really thinking and feeling.
God, I would love to go to a university and like be a part of leading a research study to understand how hormonal changes affect intuition.
What? Let's find someone to come on the pod. Yeah, because I really think it matters. I mean, it matters how you see yourself, how you feel about the world, how you feel about those around you. It impacts like every moment of every day.
Yes, totally. Yeah. Yes. Bean, as always, so relatable. And I guess we don't have to ask you for a takeaway since this was a listener question.
No, I feel
episode.
Like it's a listener question. Keep them coming. That's
this was fun, you guys. You can submit your listener questions at the link in our show notes, or you can DM me at Maury Fontanez, or you can DM Signal with Maury and Melissa. And also, don't forget that if you want to support us, please support us. You can.
Wow.
Please share this with people. Anyone that you think would benefit from
anything that we have to share on the podcast in all of our collective journey towards growth and self-actualization. And until next week, bye.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted and produced by myself, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Bushka. Special thanks to our sound editors, Arman Kassam and Anushree Segedeth. Make sure to join us next week for another episode.